You're listening to Bobby Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining us on Bobby Talk today. We hope everybody's doing great, our Bobby Talk Nation out there.
Yeah, Bobby Talk Nation.
How are you guys?
I wasn't texting or anything. I was going back over some notes
for
Talk. Being prepared. Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Wednesday, so Wednesdays are a bit hectic because we have Wednesday night activities and there's a lot to get ready, make sure things are set for student ministry, and we've got life group and planning worship. So I randomly was walking down the hall and simultaneously started singing just like the song Bless God we sang this past Sunday because looking ahead, and then somehow somebody said, oh, that's a problem, and I busted into, how do you solve a problem? I'm like, Mike Marie, that's my brain. So,
sound of music.
It's a picture into my world.
I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
Oh, come
I'm
on.
I'm so sorry.
You know you sing that.
I know.
Please tell me you
so long,
that movie.
Farewell. Of okay, years yeah. And good night.
Yeah. See,
and,
he can sing.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Oh.
That's all I know.
Right.
I've never seen that movie all the way through.
You know that.
Oh, Doe a Deer? That's from Sound of Music?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. I had not seen that
female
song, that movie, until.
Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me name I call myself. A long way.
That one
run.
Never made sense until
so
I was like,
a needle pulling thread.
La, a note that follows.
Like, that's
la.
That's lazy
lyric writing there, yeah. Rodgers and Hammerstein. I had not seen that movie until college.
Is Julie Andrews still alive?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kelly?
Do you know?
I don't know, actually.
You're the resident expert.
I just remembered, didn't Carrie Underwood do like a remake
the
Christmas?
It was very,
really?
Very yeah.
Not good.
It was
really?
Awful.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
she,
it was
live,
cool
because
it was Carrie Underwood.
Wow.
She's a great singer. She's just not a great
actress.
She's
a very talented singer.
That's true.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, we are second week of October, which is kind of hard to believe.
Yeah.
Church-wise, we have the Fall Festival right around the corner.
Yes, yeah, sign up. Bring those
candy,
trucks and those
please.
Treats.
Yeah. Yes.
What else?
Any candy you guys don't like, please don't bring.
I do not like Twizzlers. I think they're disgusting.
I like Twizzlers Pull and Peel, but not regular Twizzlers.
I think they're disgusting. I don't like candy corn. I don't like pumpkin spice. Basically, I don't like October.
You know
what
I had this morning?
Yeah.
Pumpkin
at my discipleship
spice.
Group at Starbucks?
I know you
a pumpkin cream cold brew.
Oh.
I was like, I am
cold?
Treating myself.
No.
Okay.
I just, it's...
You know what kind of little Chobani creamer we have at our house? I have to just put like this tiny amount in it.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of pumpkin.
I should say, I don't dislike it. I just don't like it. It's fine.
I'm kind of surprised about the Twizzler thing, though.
Twizzlers is just gross.
All those things are kind of plasticky, though.
Yeah,
so maybe
I think maybe it is texture.
You don't like plastic.
I don't like plastic. I don't like jelly beans, like gummies. Yeah, that just.
Okay.
I think maybe.
You don't like gummy bears? Ooh, put them in the freezer? Oh,
no.
Man.
Oh, I haven't tried that. I mean, maybe I will.
They still taste like gummy bears.
It's just like chocolate, peanut butter.
Yeah,
like,
those two combinations pretty much in anything are a winner.
Okay.
I like. We talked about what we don't like.
Yeah, don't.
I don't really like a lot of candy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just, yeah.
It's because we're getting
I
old.
Like Milk Duds a lot, but
Milk Duds.
Which
was funny
because
most people
were
like, get rid of, like, that's usually the leftover
stuff.
Oh,
give it to me.
Yeah,
well, actually, don't give it to me.
Yeah.
Don't give it to me.
Yeah. I like the Reese's pumpkins.
We won't have to worry about you taking any candy corn or Twizzlers or watch the Milk Duds. Okay.
Yeah. Watch the Milk Duds.
All right. Well, on a more serious topic.
Speaking
not sure
of milk
how to
duds,
transition.
Speaking of milk
speaking
duds,
of duds.
Speaking of duds.
James a sermon this past Sunday.
No,
definitely
it was,
a 4 out of 10. I'm just kidding.
It was wonderful. I've loved. We're not there yet. Almost.
Okay,
we're
okay.
Almost to the heresy part.
Okay.
Speaking of heresy, okay. So you have used the term a couple times in your sermon when you're just talking about the importance of the gospel, being in the word, knowing those foundational truths that we're supposed to know. The opposite end of the spectrum would be New Age philosophies that have kind of taken Christianity culturally here, starting to affect us. So first maybe define what you mean by the New Age philosophies that we're seeing.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like one of those things that could be like a series, a class at school.
Right.
So
we're
trying to condense it in a small amount of time. So it's going to get very quickly boggy.
Okay.
And then I don't know that we'll get out of the bog. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, for simplification, New Age philosophy is a movement that took off in the West in like the 60s, 70s that incorporated some beliefs rooted in Hinduism. You know, like a big person who kind of made this popular in our time was, in our country in that time, not our time, was John Lennon. Sorry, I don't know why I went blank for a second. Like, you know, I was just having to imagine.
That's right.
Who I was thinking about. Yeah. So three things that are pretty dominant ideas are cosmological determination. So almost like if you ever watch, so one of my favorite shows was How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. You guys like that show?
I haven't seen it.
What?
Yeah, I mean, people have told me I would like it, but I just haven't watched
You're a little Mosby-ish.
You know,
you have no idea that reference. Yeah, yeah.
Or
you don't want to be Barney.
But I'm offended. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. You've never seen it either?
No.
Chris Brown doesn't like How I Met Your Mother?
No. I mean, he might. I don't think
we Wow.
Ever. Yeah, I mean, we just continue to watch Office again and again.
Okay. Well, the universe is telling us they kept like talking about how the universe was like trying to do things and bring people together. And it's that idea. And there are, you know, basically there's this determinism, the determination that's happening, you know, in the universe. Mm. It's trying to make things happen. Karma kind of comes from that, right? Like, it's tied to that idea. This idea of energy and like how we must have the right kind of energy and we can accomplish things through energy. And again, I'm oversimplifying all these things. And then lastly is really self-deification, which is like we really see ourselves as gods.
Wow.
So that's New Age philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. But like – so – to be fair, when I was talking about this a couple weeks ago, I talked about many ways that we walk away from the gospel. I talked about how fundamentalism causes us to lose sight of the gospel. So like we begin to think like by keeping the sacraments or keeping these fundamentals or keeping these rituals that we can base our security on that. Yeah. On that. And then I also I'm trying to remember what the middle piece was. I really can't remember right now. And then the last one was I was talking about like mystical things, and I talked about how, you know, prophecy and spiritual gifts, and then I talked about New Age philosophy. And I would say more so amongst some charismatic circles and Bethel Church, which is probably one of the most influential churches in that circle now, have really went into that, where there's like this energy that we need to have.
Yeah.
And they even see music as a vehicle, to fuel that energy or a fuel to drive that vehicle. And then really seeing ourselves as like Christ, like in the sense that like we are elevated to his level of deification. So if he could raise the dead, then we can raise the dead. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the proverb that says, you know, your words are power, life and death, which is just a proverb, right?
Yeah.
So wisdom saying your words are life and death, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Like you can
take it literally,
but they take it literally because they're seeing it through that lens. And so, it really does lose sight of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. Did that answer the question as to what I was trying to say without?
So maybe, yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. And I think the question people have is like, so what, how do we see this now?
Yeah.
And I think in a number of ways, you referenced a few. I think one of the major ways is like, is the word, the
word of
the
life.
Manifestation theology that our words can manifest things that we can speak. Like, I mean, there's a phrase, like, speak life. Like, our words should be encouraging and edifying and life-giving.
Speak life.
But they don't
that a Christian song?
Our words don't actually, like, our words can't literally bring death. Like, I mean, they can affect, like, if I came in your office and started to, like, just dissing you and, like, yeah, you're going to feel bad. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to be like, dude, you're crazy. And you may feel good because, you know, like, I'm not right. But I think, like, there's this thought that our words can bring things into existence. I'm just going to speak this over.
Into existence. Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Like, I'm going to throw this out there to the universe and just, you know, like we can manifest.
That's New Age.
I mean, it really is. And
that's not Bible. That's New Age. Yeah.
I think it gets coddled in spiritual language, but it's not true.
Right.
That's one example. I mean, you referenced music, and I think that is a that music rather than as a means to like it is this it we bring the glory, like there's thoughts in worship, like we bring the glory of God, we usher in the glory of God.
We welcome you here, Holy Spirit. Yeah. We've got the recipe right for it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's like
I defaulted to the voice they used to get that.
And the hands.
Yeah.
There you the right movement of fingers.
The spirit finger. Remember, bring it on.
Yeah, that's right. Spirit fingers. Yeah. Exactly. So there is that thought.
You guys
there,
know Bring It On, right?
I do
you
know
did not
bring
know
it on.
How I Met Your
that.
Mother. So
I've seen that
I
one.
That.
You probably loved that movie, didn't you, Kelly?
No, what
how sexist of you.
Just grow up in Niceville,
yeah,
you know.
True,
so.
Yeah. I just think there's those things that we think there's a formula to bring the presence of God, and then we because we've done certain things, we should expect God to respond to our certain things
right.
in a certain
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
I mean, whereas like our approach would be like, hey, we should expect God to move in a certain way because we're honoring the scriptures, like not to move in a certain way, but to move. We should expect God to work as we gather together because we're honoring Jesus. We're exalting him. We're teaching the Bible and we're seeking him rather than like, and I think a lot of this hits on wanting and desiring to experience things beyond what is revealed to us in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a root of it.
Yeah. Mm. I think that we're kind of a culture we're like microwave culture, you know, and it's just the next best thing. And those things are appealing because it's this new thing that I don't know. It's just like in health, everybody wants to look amazing, but they don't want to do all the work
right,
it takes
right.
to get there.
Right.
You know, they just want the end product. They want the feel good. They want all that. They don't want to do the hard work. And so I don't know. Would you lump in with them like people that have these divine or new revelations that they're trying to put out there?
Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah.
Just
and,
like, am I going to say this?
No, I'm just thinking, yeah. And also like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you seeking this beyond like the presence, like, God and his word like revealed to us. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes back to that like deification of self. Mm-hmm. And really like we're expecting God. I mean, I had someone say to me talking about, and they were in a more liberal they were Baptist, but not Southern Baptist, more liberal Baptist denomination, who said to me, you Southern Baptists are worshiping the word, not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but Jesus is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what he was trying to say.
Right.
Like he was trying to say, and I do think it's true that
right.
it's like there's this elevation of scripture God rather than it reveals him to us. But what he was saying is he was really getting at like you're trying to follow scripture and so you're really worshiping it above. And he would literally said, isn't what you experience with God just as real as what you read in the word? And I said, maybe. If what I'm experiencing with God is his word, through his word and through the filter of his word, but if it's contrary to his word, it is not.
Well, I think that is the good point. I think like the Bible is valuable because it's the revelation of God. It's the word of God. So the Bible in itself is not valuable. It's only valuable because it's the revelation of God. Revelation of God trumps scripture. Mm-hmm. But scripture is the revelation of God. So the question would be for that person then, so is what you're saying, that's not the revelation of God?
Yeah.
Because if it is the revelation of God, then everything else should be read through the lens of scripture. But I think what a lot of people do this isn't fully fair to say, but in some charismatic movements is they evaluate scripture through the lens of experience. I think there's non-charismatics doing that too. But in fact there's people at our church all the time that I'm having to walk through like, okay, the decision you're making, because I'm not, it's not my job to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. Like, mm-hmm. it's my job to help you listen to the Lord. Decision you're making, I'm not understanding how the Bible is informing that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. like, so help me understand how the Bible is informing that decision.
Right. Yeah.
And it is important, I think, in this conversation to, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's real, and he does lead us as believers, like, you know, now, like, it's not like the God can't speak to us, like, outside of just reading the Bible, because the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us yeah. and convicts.
Yeah.
However, it's not going to be in a way that's contrary to his word, and right. it's not going to be this exceptional thing, but, like, God does, like, Lord, if we're yielding our lives to the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us. He's going to mm-hmm. guide us. And I think sometimes people are like, God told me this. I'm like, well, we got to be careful when we say, God told me.
I don't think I ever say that.
Yeah, I mean, if you do,
God I'll told me tell you, not but, to ever say that. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's like, I think a better way to say, like, I feel like the Spirit's leading me to do this.
Yeah.
And that very well could be true. And I think that's on the charismatic side, they would look at others like us and be like, you don't leave any room for the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's just this line. There is room for the Holy Spirit, yeah. but it's never going to be in contrary to his word. And I think we can so, like, going back to the New Age thing and kind of following our hearts and following what yeah. feels right, like, it gets back to
you
that.
You said the right phrase. Yeah. yeah, follow your heart. This is coming to a sermon in December, but, like, I'm talking about how, you know, following your heart is bad advice. It really is. Mm-hmm. If you read the Bible, heart above all else is deceitfully wicked.
Yeah.
There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Like, but if you've prayed, sought counsel, read scripture, probably know some scripture, and then you follow your heart, there's freedom in that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to over-spiritualize. Like, I do feel like, and I don't fully understand why. I know why there are, like, abusive people that say, like, God told me, like, abusive leaders, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I get why they're doing that. They're wrong. In fact, that's pretty evil. But I don't get why people can't just say, like, hey, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think, like, the Lord's leading me to do this. Yeah.
Even probably, I mean, me coming down here, it wasn't like I definitely should go to First Baptist Church of Niceville. Mm-hmm. It was like, I believe this is what the Lord's leading me to do. And I mm-hmm. prayed about it and counseled and fasted and yeah. all those things, like, and knew the word, like, and just kind of, like, look at the situation. For you, you know, it's like, you could see staying where you were mm-hmm. and you could see coming here, and you mm-hmm. really, at the end of the day, you just have to be like, this is what I think the Lord's telling me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the cool thing about God, well, there's many cool things about God.
Tell me one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, that, can you stand up on Sunday morning
when
I'm like, yeah, tell me. I would actually appreciate that. I appreciate that sometimes in the 8 o'clock you get them clapping.
I get them clapping.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
I have a very loud clap to get it going.
Yeah, it's like he says that he's able to work all things together for the good of the church, called according to his purpose. And so like he's not asking me to figure out. You ever heard that phrase, like, the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God? Mm-hmm. That's not good.
That's like us trying to, like, we have to have categories for God's will because we can't understand it.
That's
true. Who's knowing the mind of God? Who, you know, like.
Yeah.
We
on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a Calvinist are you? We got to do those kind of things,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
So maybe somebody's kind of struggling with trying to figure out, like, okay, here's this idea, or this happened in a church, they visited a church, or my friend goes to this church, or whatever. Is this a denominational, the thing that's going on, is it a denominational difference, or is it straight up heresy? Just like, you know.
So
depends
on
that's
who
you
probably
ask,
really,
right?
So there is, it is straight up heresy, and I think because most denominations have variants between in the churches that fall under those denominations, you may see elements of this in denominations for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because churches can easily be influenced by this, like what's working, what will get people to respond in a certain way. So services get programmed through this filter. The worship service can easily be programmed through this filter. It shouldn't be, but it can be. So I would say, yes, it is straight up heresy. I think some churches, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus so that we don't, like, some of this is just like what we quote unquote worldly wisdom. And we can't do that. Like, we shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. That's not the kingdom of God. It doesn't follow the rules of what may seem wise in the sight of mankind. So, I would say that you could find some Baptist churches that are doing some of this stuff because it may work. I think it would be more prevalent in non-denominational churches mm-hmm. or in certain denominations. I mean, you would find some Methodist churches. I don't know that you'd find any like PCA Presbyterian churches too, because you know, just because of the a little bit more oversight in the presbytery. But I think you would find elements of this in specific denominations.
Yeah, and what is heresy? You know, I mean, that's today. You know, that's defined differently. You know, because historically the Wesleyan quadrilateral, which is like the four ways that we hear from God, right? Like reason, scripture. I can't remember all of them. Like no one orthodox would have said that's heresy, but now there are people who are like, well, actually, that's heresy. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think the Methodist Church by and large are heretics. Mm-hmm. Think there's errors, but now there are people who are saying that. So like now it feels like the narrow, like, and this is tribalism that's mm-hmm. happened that's, in our world, sure. You know, because of the internet. I think that's hard to know. So mm-hmm. for us, since we're the ones talking, right? What mm-hmm. what is heresy? You know, it's anything that brings down Christ. You know, so removes his deity, removes his exclusivity. Anything that views the Bible as less than at least complete inerrant or full inerrancy. So there's three views of the Bible of inerrancy. We'll just talk about two. Complete inerrancy means there's not a single error in the Bible that we have in the English Bible. Full inerrancy means what God revealed had no error. There might be some typographical errors and things like that, but 99% of it's true and its meaning's intact. I think anybody who says less than that would deem that's heretical. So like, you know, people who think the gifts are what they're not and call themselves prophets, I don't know if that's heretic, because that's a just bad understanding of the Bible. But someone who believes that Joseph Smith was the prophet who mm-hmm. corrected the incorrupt Bible, that's heresy,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what Mormons believe,
yeah.
You know, is mm-hmm. that the original Bible was not good. It had become mm-hmm. corrupt. God didn't preserve it. Never. And Joseph Smith is the guy.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, we could go on a long list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're not heresy hunters, though. They're out there, though.
Listen, I mean, when you said it, like, people now are like, you disagree with me on this, you're a heretic. And
right.
It's like, no, you have a different interpretation of right. this one thing.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that defined the terms.
I mean, yeah. There's, yeah, Baptist mm-hmm. churches that have different views on end times and Israel and, you know, sovereignty
names,
of
yeah,
God
exactly.
and all those things. And, like, we might disagree and have a very conclusive reason we disagree, but it yeah. doesn't mean we're not – and we might not go to church together because
right.
of that, but it doesn't mean they're a heretic. You know?
Right, yeah.
Yep.
So,
still see him in heaven.
Egalitarian and complementarianism. It doesn't mean they're a heretic. It just means we think they're wrong about the Bible.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have a couple questions that we're going to move to. So the first one we kind of talked about this, or you guys talked about this in a different episode, but there was another pastor recently that had to step down because of a moral failure, Steve Lawson. People might know about him, might not. So I guess just what are your general thoughts on that?
You want to know what my initial thought was when people started texting me about it?
Go ahead.
Who? I never heard of him. I really
yeah.
never heard of him.
Yeah.
People like, seriously? Like,
I didn't know his name.
Never...
I mean, I wouldn't have put a face with a name until I, like, saw his face. Oh, yeah, I have seen him, heard of him. Don't really know much about
never.
Him. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. And ultimately, I think maybe what was a little bit surprising is that he's older. I mean, I don't know how old he'd be. He's definitely at least in his 60s or
70s. I think
he's
in his
70s. And this was a relationship with, like, a 20-something-year-old woman.
Ew. Sorry. No,
but I think, you know, I think that was...
For real?
Yeah. And I think what was maybe also a little jarring is that let's just be honest, there's some pastors that you hear this happens to, and you're like, oh, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think what would happen...
Name
like,
them. No, I'm just kidding.
But like, this one was... and he specifically is more from a very, I guess, people who would listen to him or be much more conservative
mm-hmm,
theologically.
Yeah.
And so it was surprising because of that, I think, in that camp. So... I would just say it just goes back to the fact that if you're called to the office of – I mean, part of the factors of this is that I mean, he was traveling a lot. He wasn't necessarily home in his church as much as what maybe was portrayed. And part of that's because of stage of life. I just think it goes back to, like, if you're called to the office of pastor, you're called to the office of pastor of that church and not meant to travel around and lack of accountability and, and those kinds of things.
Are you
things.
Mad that I'm going to New Orleans this week? Is that why you're saying that?
I don't know. I didn't really know you were going to New Orleans. I forgot. We think you told me, but I forgot. Yeah, but it's like, you know, like it's
for
just,
clarity, for a pastor's training, not to go to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I don't know when that is. It's not this time of year.
Not this time of year, no.
Okay.
But I think, like, that's the point is, like, there has to be measures of accountability. Mm-hmm. I think I'm thankful for the structure that we have at our church that provides that, you know, and in many fronts of accountability. So I think that's all I have to say. It's, you know, it's
yeah, I mean, I guess he was really focused on theology. And I'm going to say this in a very articulate way. Temptation don't care about your theology.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's basics, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, he was very revered in his circles. And so I don't know this, but I don't know if certain people get to a level that other people just, oh, you're good.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I don't
I think
need
that
to check
is,
up on you.
I think
you
that
know?
Probably is absolutely a piece of it. He's respected. He's older. And so they're probably – and that's the case. Like, the longer you know someone, the more you trust them. And he probably had a long track record. I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying. Or he probably had a track record of being respectable and having integrity. And then something happened, obviously. And so there was probably a lot of a trust. And just because you trust someone doesn't mean that you – can't ask tough questions or shouldn't ask tough questions because that's part of
We've talked about this before. Like, we both have felt like some of it's self-imposed and some of it's from others. Like, people don't want what's happening to stop or slow down here. This is a much smaller scale. We're not, you know, big name speakers. And so, like, people probably don't press in like they should and just assume, hey, they're producing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this one seemed a little deceptive, too, you know? So, like, I don't know. Man, money, women, and pride.
Yeah, all those.
Those keep getting people.
Yeah, well.
And they could be anywhere on the theological spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't care about your theology.
We're all a couple bad decisions away. So.
That's right.
Well, not related to that at all. The next question. We had our first budget announcement.
We did.
And so,
for 2025.
Yeah, crazy. 2025. What are some important things just to kind of keep in mind as far as the key things to notice about this year's budget?
Yeah. You want to start? You want me to start? First, I would say there is a common link. There's a lot of accountability and built into our budget.
We started this back in July.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah. So first of all, props and major, major thanks to Steve Renna, our executive pastor of administration, and
Mark Hayes and all of our stewardship
team members who have poured over this very diligently. And also the people who helped form it, but those teams, individual and teams specifically.
Yeah, your name was on there a lot, so you
Yeah, I mean, you can speak to some of the bigger picture. Why don't you start
the
big picture?
Well, the biggest one is, so last year we had a historic budget increase of 19.6%.
Wow.
And then this year we're still well ahead of budget, and we are increasing our budget again by 9%. So, like, praise God that we're in such a healthy place. This is also, so I'll just give you three big things. I'll let Justin go from there and he can talk about them more. So number one is this is the first year that since I've been here that we don't have debt in our budget.
Wow.
Because if you remember, we paid off our debt in January.
Yes.
Or February, Vision Night. And so we have no debt. So with that, we are, however, saving 10% a year for future growth.
Okay.
So we already have contingency saving, emergency reserves. This is for facilities, recognizing, hey, students are out of space, lots of possibilities. So we're going to start being disciplined and saving that. Number two is that our total missions budget is $614,000.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like three times what it was, like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Praise the Lord for that. And then third is in our 1.5% of church planning revitalization. We have two churches we've been helping in New York City, and we're also going to help a church in Fayetteville plant. It's kind of a replant plant thing.
Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Okay. And we'll be sharing more about that. And then we're going to help a replant in Garden City, which you might also say.
Where's that?
City. It's actually slightly north of Crestview, like 3 miles north of Crestview. So it really is Crestview where all the growth is taking place.
Yeah.
So those would be three things maybe would add to
And that's continuing the work in partnership in New York City as well, too,
yes,
in that
yes,
church planning.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's super exciting. I think in missions, too, we see, really an increased investment in our partnership with One More Child in Uganda,
yes.
specifically Global Missions.
That's a big number. It will get asked about a lot.
It will get and it's basically we're providing for the entire feeding program, and that's our desire is for the entire feeding program for about 1,000 kids for an entire week. Every week of the year.
Oh, I was
so,
gonna say, just 1 week.
Yeah, every week of the year.
Say, dang,
so, I mean,
one
that's
week.
A lot.
Where they eat in Fogo de Chão?
No,
like,
no it is beans, rice, and plantains.
Oh, okay. Hey, they do serve that at Fogo de Chão.
They do. That's true. Yeah, a little
okay,
more.
Okay, feeling
though.
a little convicted by that right now.
Increase. That's right.
I know. Oh.
We are a desire to increase our support in South Asia with the pastors in India to see that continue to grow. Grow and flourish, and those are some big things. And then our continued involvement increases in our community and partnerships here, with Serve Day and other organizations, ministries that we support in our community. So those are some big things. I think
I noticed the big increase in worship. Is that so I can come down from the rafters?
That's right. We have we need a ringing system
okay.
for you to descend. Now listen, if somebody asks me, I'm going to say, do you know what happened to the worship budget last year? It got cut in half. And it was because of the budget increase and overage. So some things came back into budget that were funded through overage.
Okay.
Plus, a huge piece of what we're doing in our worship budget is not for fancy new lights and everything to blink in people's eyes. It's because we're thinking ahead.
Touché.
And we recognize that even if tomorrow we broke ground on new facilities, we would not be in new facilities anytime soon. And if God continues to
Why don't you just
bring,
speak it into existence?
Man, if it only worked that way. Lord.
Oh, man. That's funny.
You ever notice those prophets need bodyguards, too? Anyway, sorry.
And if that is really true, go to the hospital and speak some life down the hallway.
Yeah, right.
All right. We should have said that earlier.
Seriously. It's so ridiculous. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So we recognize, we're probably going to have some temporary worship space for overflow in our services. And so we have some infrastructure we've got to invest in to make that happen, to the technology to make that happen, and it costs money. So
we have man infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to ask any more about
that's right. Some technology we got to invest in to make it happen. And then some other things, increases in student ministry because of numbers and some programs we want to do there, kid growth, all those things. So it's exciting.
What about you? The budget. What are your key takeaways and observations?
Also,
I am not in charge of any budget areas. So.
I think for the first, and I say this, Steve and I have both managed the awareness and communications like piece of the budget. And of course, and Emily has been working. She's been so awesome.
She's awesome.
She has been. But I think maybe next year in 2025, because of someone giving full headspace to that budget. We'll probably execute all of that budget next year, which is really exciting. No pressure. You will because
This a new job that I'm getting? Is that what you're announcing to me?
A new thing.
The communications budget.
The communication
underspent.
Gotcha, yeah, because we've just not been able to ever.
Now
have
that Kelly's here,
space.
We're spending all the money.
Gosh, here we go again.
Right.
All right.
Has it been eye opening seeing this budget process?
Yes. I do appreciate the transparency. For real, I've been. Places where that was not I'm not exaggerating, talked about it at all. There was not a meeting.
That's just so foreign to me.
Nothing, and so that is new, and I can
that sounds like Russia or China. That's what
that's
foreign to me.
Probably. It is very, I think it's good. I think it's, the accountability, the transparency, but I also think bringing in, it's important for us, I think, as members to see the inspirational piece of it too. It can be money and seem like it's just money, but the ministry that's coming out of this is what it's all about. And
that's
so
right.
being able to see the people's lives that are changed and the ministries that are connected to the money, I think is what we still need to see,
Absolutely.
So anyways, one more question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we give a lot of little book reviews, just, you know, maybe a shout out to it, good or bad. How does somebody know before they pick up a book, is this author reliable, trustworthy, or, hey, leave it on the shelf, move on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's probably several tests you could do. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, who endorses this book? I mean, who's on the jacket sleeve? I mean, that's not a foolproof way to say it's going to be sound or great, but because also people give book endorsements just because they get paid to do it and don't actually read the book.
That's for sure.
But because they're like, I want this person's name on my book, and if they endorse it, I'll get more sales.
It's true.
You could look, I mean, if you're familiar with names, look at who they cite. You know, I mean, I'm one of those people that, like, I don't have to go into a book thinking I'm going to agree with everything that I'm about to read it, because it helps me be better and sharper and more critical. And I know some people who don't operate that way, and that's fine. You know, some people, I don't want to read anything that I don't agree with. And I mean, I get where they're coming from. Also, do you want to grow? Do you want to be refined?
Yeah.
You know, I think those are two important things. I mean, look who they cite, look their background, and then, I mean, these days, honestly, the way the publishing industry works is scroll through their Twitter feed and see their tone. Like, not necessarily even what they say, but their tone and how they say it. And you get a pretty good feel for their desire.
That's a good point.
I mean, yeah. Other recommendation. Who recommended this book to you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think, you know, I mean, I think, first of all, recognize every author, pastor, including me, is not fully trustworthy.
Yeah, you're not going to agree.
I don't mean
everybody
that I'm deceiving anyone. I mean that I'm only one collection of writing without error, and that's the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
So we need to know that, and we need to know the Bible and read it through the lens of the Bible. And then secondly, you know, I think having trusted, more mature people in the faith, or if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, a few friends you could talk about things you're learning, to just kind of bounce off of. And then what you said, looking for it. You know, I want to go back, and maybe this brings us full circle.
Tie it back to the New Age.
So I read a book a month at least. Mm-hmm. So I value that. I typically don't always read, like, Christian books. I'm just reading, like, this one's actually taking me longer because it's long, but The Anxious Generation. Like, I do read a lot of leadership books. I like history. I wish I had more time to read it, really, honestly. Just, I have six kids and they suck the life out of me. But
but they're awesome.
But I think something that, like, bothers me about what we're talking about in the Word of Life and the New Age movement, and then even in just, like, people's desire to read book after book after book to get revelation, is how little Christians talk about Scripture. And I'll just say this. If it is God's revealed word, do you think there are forces at work in our culture and in you to get you away from the Bible?
Absolutely.
Yeah, distracting.
And I would just say, if our heart finds the Bible boring and isn't longing for that, and longs for these books or these prophets to speak or this pastor to speak or whoever it is more than the Bible, man, let's give that to the God and let him change our
mind. Yeah. And take that to him. Ask him to help. He does. And he will. He absolutely will answer that prayer.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. If you have any other questions, you can send them my way at kelly@churchonbigshore.org. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.